Hey, this is Pastor David Winston, and welcome to the Go Hard for Christ podcast. I hope this message encourages and inspires you as you become all that God has designed you to be.
So again, we've been talking about growing in discipleship, So let's do a brief recap. Is that okay? So the week one, Pastor David did a great job talking about the Word of God. Do anybody remember something that he was saying during that message? Just blurt it out. Uh-oh. Okay. I got you. Okay. Anybody else? Did anybody got a Bible plan since since then? Do we got a Bible? Show of hands. We've been reading the Word of God a little more. Good, good. Anybody else? What did we talk about? We talked about a couple of things. We talked about the Word of God, right? The context of Bible reading. We talked about, you know, Bible plans and Bible guides. We talked about proper context, you know, proper translation. Understand that the Bible is not was not originally written in English. It was one Old Testament in Hebrew, New Testament in Greek. So some words have to be translated over properly. That's why we have a concordance. No, Matthew Henry, remember those things? No? Okay, good. All right. We're on the same page. All right, and then the next week, our amazing Jackie Dye talked to us about prayer. Do you remember what some things she was saying? Just shout it out. Yeah, removing the stigma, the importance of prayer. Anybody else remember some things about prayer? She had a lot of things. And she gave us a skit, too, a free skit. She did. I was there. Anybody else remember some things she was saying? She said she was talking about, you know, reading prayer, the effectiveness of prayer, stigma, the importance of a prayer. But then she also talked about communing in prayer, that it's just prayer, the opportunity that we have to talk to God and be able to have that one-on-one personal relationship with God, right? So that's perfect, because now that leads me into what I want to share with you all, which is about the heart of a disciple, having the heart of a disciple. Now, for me, it's very important that in order for us to have a heart of the disciple, we must, one, have the Word of God, and then, two, understanding the power of prayer. And see, that really changed my life, honestly. And I want to be very candid, be very open about my life, because I believe the things I've went through will help you all, right? So when I understood how important the Word of God was and how important prayer was, it really changed my life, right? Some couple examples. I look nice, right? Yeah. Nice. We're clean. Cool. But see, at one point in time, I had only one outfit. And it was my all-purpose outfit. It was my, if I had a date, outfit. It was my church outfit. It was my hangout outfit. But when I understood the power of the Word of God, I began to realize there was much more for me. Now, I have a great job now with a great boss. Promotion. But at one point in time, I had a job to where one of my paychecks was $65. You know, but it's when I realized that God had much more for me than my life changed. You know, I did graduate from college, but I didn't go to college right out of high school. But when I knew what the Word of God and what prayer was saying to me, it allowed me to take that next initiative. I have a nice, really nice car now, but at one point I had a car that didn't have any heat. In the winter, Chicago, with Frozen was out there too, you know. So, and then that car only lasted like 15 days, literally, and I like cried. But then I realized what was there for me. It allowed me to see that that was not the end all be all of my life, right? And now you may say, well, he's blessed, or he's got a, and that may be true, but we have to understand that he didn't bless me when it manifested. I was already blessed, but according to my heart was going to dictate how much of it I can manifest. Right? So even for you, see, because that scholarship that you want, that intern that you want, that job that you want, that car that you want, that home that you want, it's already done. But it's according to the heart process is you're going to be able to manifest it. So, because it's not that God is holding anything back from you. He's holding it up for you because God wants you to be able not just to have it, but to handle it. Right? See, because the world, they will promote you based off skill. If you have a skill or a gift or a talent, they will promote you. But see, God waits until you have integrity because you're representing God now. And he don't ever want you to get up high somewhere and then fall because the world is going to judge God based off us. Based, and it's not about necessarily stuff, but it is about representing where you come from. Right? You know, so we must always understand that as a disciple, now my whole goal is to follow Christ, that the same life that he lived, now I must live. Now, that may seem difficult, but the beauty of that is the same outcome he got, now I qualify for that same lifestyle. So if he died and lived, in my situation, I may be dead, but I know I'm going to live because I'm following Jesus Christ, right? So no matter what situation you're in, if you're following Christ as a disciple, you have the same life, but you have the same outcome as well. Right? And see, what God really wants us to do is to get back to who we actually are. Because who you are is not actually who you are if you're not following Jesus Christ. Right? So now, Pastor David, I follow him on Instagram and slight plug, follow PD. I follow him and some mornings he have these great morning inspirational quotes. And I want to share one with you all. I thought it was very important and it kind of helps us understand this lesson. He said, the enemy often uses comparison as bait so that over time, being yourself become less attractive to you. He said, don't take the bait. You are one of a kind. You are one of a kind. You're so special that even if you're the only person on this planet, Jesus Christ would die the same way for you. You're so important that when God deals with you, he deals with you as if you're the only person on the planet. You're so important that everything that God has for you, he's already done for you, and he's waiting for you to come into communication with him so you can get it. You're so important and so one of a kind that God cannot mix your stuff up with somebody else's. So that means everything I want in life is not dictated by somebody else. So now I can live a life not based off what somebody said on Instagram or on Facebook or on TikTok because now my comparison is not them. My comparison is Jesus Christ. Right? And that really freed me up. It really did. So I want to share some things about the heart of a disciple. I think that it'll be very important. So let's go with the first scripture. Let's go with 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 4 through 7. All right? So it says, and we're going to make sure that we keep in context what Pastor David has taught us and then also what Jackie has taught us as we read. It says, and Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming. So, give you a brief context. So, what had happened was Saul was the first king of Israel. At first, there was no king; God was their king, and that's the way he wanted it to be. But you know, people they like being like other people sometimes, and they like it because they look at the benefit of it, but they don't see the downside of it. Likewise with the children of Israel. They saw other nations with kings. They say, well, make up, we want a king. So then God gives them Saul. Saul eventually get out of pocket with God, and then God's anointing leaves Saul. But Samuel, who was a prophet, he loved Saul, and he began to cry over the fact that Saul was no longer the king. So what happened was he began, so God tells Samuel, get up from here. I'm going to show you where my next king is. And I want you to see how God looks at his next king, because that's how God looks at us. So it says, and Samuel did what the Lord spoke to him, and the elder of the town trembled as his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? Next scripture, please. And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. So now he goes to Jesse's house. Jesse's house. Now, Jesse has a lot of, about a couple sons. Some are nice looking. Now, we're going to use our imagination a little bit. We don't actually know. But, you know, I can imagine some were nice looking. Some had an education. Some were astute. You know, some were abound in certain areas. And Samuel thought those are the ones that God was going to choose because of their stature. So the Bible says, and he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. Next scripture, please. And it came to pass when they were coming that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointing is before him. Now, Eliab was, I'm sure, one who maybe was tall in stature, nice looking, had the image of a king, maybe an image of royalty. And David, as a human being, said, that got to be the one. You know, just like us, you'll see somebody with a nice suit on or nice outfit on. And they say, well, they must be blessed, or they must be doing what God told them to do based on the image, right? Next, and it says, came to pass, next scripture, please. It said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as, not seest as man seeth, for man look on the outward appearance, but the Lord look on the heart. Now, that's a reason to be glad. See, because the world, sometimes, based off where you come from, based off who you are, based off your origin or ethnicity, you're not qualified. And I want you to know that here we're going to teach you spiritually, we're going to also give you real life. Because as you grow, you're going to realize, well, I'm qualified just like they are. Why did they get it and I didn't? Because the world system does not care about the things of God. They really don't. They care about either your gift or your talent or what you can do for them. But that's why we serve God, because God says, well, I know they don't necessarily look like it or seem like it or even act like it, but I don't look at that. I look at the heart. So your plight in life, how far you go in life, is going to be based off your heart. And the Bible says David was the king, not because he was tall and had stature, because God saw him with a good heart. So now we're gonna look at how he developed this heart. Psalms, in the book of Psalms, it kind of gives us some understanding about David. Now, David didn't write all the Psalms. He did write some of them, but you know, Moses wrote some of them, the Psalm of Korah, the son of Asaph. But a majority of the Psalms that we kind of quote, David did write them. So let's look at some things that David said in the book of Psalms. Let's look at Psalms 119. In verse 97, he says, Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So remember, we're talking about what Pastor David taught and then what Jackie taught. So he says, how I love thy law, thy word, for it is my meditation all the day. So David understood that the word is powerful, but when I meditate it, which is another form of communication, now I transform my heart. Because the problem is not outside. Oftentimes, the problem was on the inside. Right? Let's look at another one. Psalms 37. It says, the law, the word of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. So when I have the word of God in my heart, no matter what comes to trip me, trick me, schemes, plots, I will not be moved. I cannot slide. I cannot come off that path because the law is in my heart. Right? One more, Psalms 119, 23. It says, princes, which symbolize people of the world, also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes, which is the word. He says, they did come up against me, but because I had the word of God in my heart, they couldn't stop me. And if it worked for him, it'll work for you. How do I know this? Let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 10. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said of the truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. What does that mean? That means that we see David's life and how he used the word of God and a form of communication or prayer meditation, and he became king. Well, guess what? You have a plight in life. You have a place where God wants for you. So if you take those same principles, if it worked for David in your situation, it'll work for you. So it's no longer about what other people are saying, what other people are doing. It's all about what you're choosing to put in your heart. Because the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So it's not about others. Now it's about you and God. Amen. Me and God. Because nobody can stop you. You and God. So how many of us want something out of life? Right? So that person in your seat is the only person that can stop you. And when I realized that, my life changed. Because I realized I didn't have to look to anybody to help me. They could assist me, but they wasn't my source. Just like for us. Because, see, this thing is not age restricted. Doesn't matter how old you are. Matter of fact, in olden times, in scripture times rather, God used younger people. David was about 13. Teenager. When Joseph became second, when he got sold, he was about 17. Samuel, when he got called by Eli, he was about 13. You know, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was about 13 in the area, 14, 15. Because God does not look at how man looks at it. So it's very possible to you, you could be what you are today, and tomorrow your life can be completely different because of the heart, because your heart set. You understand what I'm saying? I want you to know it's not about what the world says. It's about what God is saying. So let's look at another one. Let's look at Matthew 5:19, because we're disciples. So now what we're doing, we're coming to be taught. And then what God does, he gives us the assignment to go and teach others. You are being taught to go and teach others. Say that with me. I'm being taught to go teach others. I'm being taught to go teach others. So you have to expect that when you learn something, God likewise wants you to go help somebody else. Because somebody helped us. And then somebody helped them. And before that, somebody helped them. Right? So what he says in Matthew 5:19, he says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least of the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So what is he saying? He says, if you learn right and you teach right, he'll give you honor. Honor allows promotion. Honor allows greatness. Honor allows peace. Because the honor that you have didn't come from man. Right? And that's how God wants us to be. So now when we talk about the heart, again, we're talking about what Pastor David taught about and then what Jackie talked about, when we talk about the heart, if you look in the actual translation in the Hebrew, that word heart translates into mind. A word in the Greek, L-A-B-E, it translates over into mind. The heart is the mind. So now that I know that, what's in my mind, my intent, my focus, my reason, my motives. So now if we go back to David, that scripture, he says, I didn't look at his outer appearance. I looked at his motives. I looked at his intent. I looked at his reasoning. I looked at what he was focused on. And if that worked for David, it gotta work for you, because God is no respecter of person. So if you're focused on God, if your intent is to please God, if your reasoning is to do right by God, well, you can do nothing but succeed. Amen. Because again, God's no respecter of person. Right? So now, what is that mind? There's a couple of things I want to share. What is that mind? So one, the mind is, or the heart is, a magnet. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 7. It's a magnet. He says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So what this scripture is saying is, if you think it, you'll become it. That's deep, right? If you can just think it, a lot of times you'll become it. Because the very basic part of life is what you think. You know, if you ask those who are billionaires, or, you know, NBA players, or even pastors, and they'll tell you, I knew I was going to be what I am because I thought it. You know, and that's why David says, I meditate, because in meditation, I begin to think about it so much to where I become it. And so when you think about whatever you think about as your heart, it'll begin to draw everything that you desire. And I'm a true story. I love this ministry so much that I desire to work here in like 2019. And I should think about it all the time. I would think about it so much, I begin to dream about it. Matter of fact, the very interview that I had with Pastor David, I had dreamt it. And it happened. Because my heart was a magnet, bringing everything to me. So what are you thinking about? Ask yourself, what am I thinking about? On a day-to-day basis, yeah, I'm thinking about school, which is important. I'm thinking about eating, which is important. I'm thinking about sleeping, that's important. But when it comes to my relationship with Christ, what am I thinking about? When I'm faced with this decision, am I thinking about, I want to do it God's way? What are you thinking? Because that in which you think, that solution is going to be drawn to you. Right? So it's a magnet, but likewise, it's soil. Your heart is soil. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12. It says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Watch this. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you spoke. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. So how does that work? So think about a garden. You have soil. Now you want to plant an apple tree. You want an apple tree. You can't plant an orange seed. You got to plant an apple seed, right? Well, in the same way, if you want peace, joy, love, they have seeds, which is the word of God. And for you, you plant it in your heart. And then when you plant it, in your heart, which is your mind, you begin to speak it. And we know death and life lies in the power of what you say. So when I put that in my heart, I begin to follow after that trend. So no longer should you say, I don't know why this happened. You should trace back everything that's happening in your life to what did I say beforehand. Because the life I live today, the seed was planted yesterday. So you ask yourself, where am I today? In my studies, where am I? In my relationship with Christ, where am I? And then you'll be able to trace back that seed. You say, oh, because I didn't study. I didn't read. I didn't pray. Nothing happens without something happening. Don't let the TV shows and Facebook tell you that you're going to wake up one day and rich is going to knock on your door. I'm not saying God does not work like that. I'm saying God wants us to be good stewards. God wants us to play a part in this. So with my heart being the soil, whatever I place in my heart or my mind is going to dictate what comes out. Right? One more. Number three is the center of my motivation. My heart is the center of my motivation. I remember when I was went to college, and my first year of college, I went to Wisconsin Lutheran, and I was on basketball scholarship, and I got to school, and I ain't play a minute. Don't laugh. Now y'all gonna laugh. I said don't laugh. Y'all start laughing. But now I ain't play. Like, y'all watch basketball games, right? Like, y'all know when a team up 20 or down 20, they put the bench in. I still wasn't getting in. I was just like you know, you on a bus and you waiting for the bus to come. You looking, that's how I was on the bench. Like, coach, you gonna call me? He never called me. I said, well. But then I took Mark 11:23 and 24. Therefore, I say, whatever thing you ask when you pray, if you believe you receive it, you shall have it. So I came home for summer. I said, God, I want to come back home, get a scholarship, play basketball, and graduate. So I ended up going to a school here in Malcolm X. Didn't know nobody. So I went in the gym. It was like 30 people there. I said, God, you called me here? No, you didn't. I said, this ain't going. Because I was looking at the stature. And so God says, yes. So I went. First day, practice, 30 people. I don't know nobody. So they talking, slapping hands. And I'm like, all right, y'all, okay. You know, and then I go back a week later, instead of being 30, now it's like 25. Then from 25 to like 17. So now the season start, and when I first came, I was a walk-on, but now I'm starting. Then I go from starting to getting all the minutes. And then people start quitting, being ineligible. Now I look up. I'm signing a scholarship, which afforded me not to have to pay for college. And then I graduated. Because I understood the center of my motivation. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:6. We got it? It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I'm sorry. I didn't get you out of the right verse. So the Bible says, so bound, rebound. So now, I know a lot of time we hear this message or this scripture when it comes to money or seed like that. But this is an all-purpose scripture. Because this scripture is saying that in which you sow, you're going to reap. And if you sow a lot of, you're going to get a lot of it back. If you sow a little of it, you're going to, when you all take tests, you all study a little or a lot. Whoever studied a little and got 100% on the test? Don't do me like that, y'all. All right, okay. It happened to me once or twice. But primarily, normally, you know, you not that you're toiling, but you're doing your part. God wants us to do our part, right? And the last thing is number four. The heart is the battleground. Can you stand to your feet for me? Number four, it's the battleground. That all these things we've spoken today are true. But the enemy does not want you to be what God wants you to be. And that mind is the battleground. Because every day you wake up, you have a decision to make. Am I going to read the word or am I not? Am I going to pray or am I not? Am I going to trust God? Am I not? Am I going to love? I'm not. But all that stuff is going on in your mind. And Satan is hoping that you choose him. Because he knows that's going to dictate how far you go in life. So I'm going to read this last scripture. Mark chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart or mind with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all, keep your mind diligent in God, because out of it they're going to dictate how far you go. And remember, God is not holding things from you. He's holding it for you with the hope that you'll mature to be who God wants you to be, to manifest what God wants you to manifest. Because as a disciple, we have an assignment to be like the one we are following. And if we're saying we're following Jesus, we ought to be able to show some signs. So please remember, your heart is the magnet. It's the soil. What are you planting in your heart? That TV, that game, social media. What are you planting in your heart? It's the center of my motivation. What am I putting in me that keeps me motivated? Am I motivated by money, cars, and clothes, shoes? Am I motivated by the word of God? Because what happens when that motivation comes my hindrance? So I start doing things to get these things, but now I realize those things ain't doing no good for me, so I look on for something else. But the word of God, it'll always motivate you to do what's right all the time. It is my battleground. That every fight that is won is fought on a battleground. And for us in our life, it's our mind. Let's have a word of prayer. So Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your youth, Father. They belong to you. Father, we thank you. We know and we understand the trajectory of this world, this natural physical world. And this world is tailored to kill their dreams and destroy their future. But we thank you that you're here. They have a choice, Father. They can choose life and life more abundantly. So we lift up every youth, Father, that the word of God be the center of their life, that prayer and communing with you will be something they yearn to do, that their heart will be right, Father, that they will be able to be trusted and operate, Father, according to your plan for their life. Father, allow their life to be a testimony to other youth that serving God is not lame. Serving God is not boring. Serving God is not for old people. Allow them to see, Father, that serving God is for them. That everything they desire can be had now according to their heart. So, Father, we thank you for this gathering. Allow them to retain, understand, and continue to feast on your word. Let it be done for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Go Hard for Christ podcast. Be sure to subscribe so that you're notified every time we release a new episode. For more information about the youth ministry or upcoming events, you can visit us at gohardforchrist.com. Until next time, keep going hard for Christ.